Good day to everyone. Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Roski Mascani. And on our panel this evening, we have Brother XP, Professor Amin Ra, Brother Mashinda, and Pink. Our guest this evening is Asa Ala, a gentleman that I've known for many years. He does a lot of things. He's a musician, and I think he's an electrician. I know he does some type of electrical work, and he's also a food nutritional researcher. Many years ago, he had visited one of my classrooms, and he was lecturing the kids on food, the nutrition of food. So, excellent individual. He came on about a month and a half ago and had an excellent show, and I expect the same from him. Brother Asa, welcome back, and go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and get started.
Oh, okay. Well, pretty much everybody on here knows me, you know, so I'm not going to talk a whole lot about anything other than I started researching food in the early 90s. I met Dr. Sabi, and he inspired me to, you know, start researching it. And I started researching, and it just blew up on me. And it, you know, it ended up turning into a full-fledged business where I had an office, and I ended up having a business and an herbal shop. I mean, herbal company, all in one. It just morphed into all that, you know. I shut it down a few years ago because I didn't have the energy and time to keep it going and put into it. And the brother that I had that was running it out of Sacramento, California, he passed away. So since he transitioned, I just was like, you know, let me just let it go. And I'm going to go ahead and just live my life. When COVID hit, it kind of opened up the doors for everything because people started calling me like night and day, asking, you know, my opinion on it, asking me for information on it and everything. So I had to go into deep research on. And so that kind of got me back in the game again. So, you know, I'm researching and doing what I have to do. So that's it.
So our topic this evening is killing our families in the name of love. So if you could talk about that topic, that'd be good.
Okay. So killing our families in the name of love was something I had come up with many, many years ago. And I used to do all my lectures when I was doing a lecture, you know, like circuit, and I would title them killing our families in the name of love. And then I started to write a book, and I titled that killing our families in the name of love. And so the energy behind that has stayed with me up until now. And since the information isn't known by, you know, everybody, a lot of people hear the information that I share, and it's new to them, and it actually blows their mind. And so I just figured, oh, well, I can just keep saying killing our families in the name of love, you know. So I'm just keeping that as an ideology to speak about the things that I speak about in relationship to health and food. In my writings, I'm showing that we people in general, you know, we do things because we have family and friends and loved ones. And we do things, you know, we have festive occasions, parties, and celebrations for all sorts of events. And in those celebrations, the things that basically we promote to ingest are generally toxic substances. Substances that, you know, are going to break you down on a cellular level and create degenerative diseases in you. And so that's where the premise of killing our families in the name of love, that's where that comes from. You know what I mean? Because if we had the proper knowledge and proper energy and spirit in our heads in relationship to health, you know, on festive occasions, we wouldn't be feeding people refined sugars, you know, and sodas and just all sorts of acidic substance, things that break you down on a cellular level. So, you know, that's where the premise of, and the name of the killing our families in the name of love, that's where that energy manifested from. So I, what do you want? I could talk more about, like, you know, last time I was on, you know, I spoke about, you know, the food and things, and there might be people that are on tonight that didn't hear that, you know what I mean? I don't know if you have questions that you want to ask me specifically.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, let me jump in on that. You know, that's very interesting, the premise of that title.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to come into realization that the things that I was doing as far as my value system, the things that I value, you know, I started off in high school and there was that culture of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we got a rush out of it as if it was a sport. And it becomes a practice that's learned from our society. And so we value liquor. And when you ingest liquor, you create issues. And it also sensationalizes some things that you normally wouldn't sensationalize. So I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at similar situations, you know, how we eat. You know, what, like you said, celebrations. We're celebrating, but we also damaging. You know, it's a heck of a mental thing to accept things that are incorrect and then justify them also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a form of mental illness. And
that's
we,
what we
and
do.
It's and it's inherited from what we value and,
exactly.
And what we've learned in this system that we live in. So that's, I can identify with what you're saying. And it took me years. You know,
mm-hmm.
Professor Amaral speaks a lot about certain things. He never tells you what you shouldn't do, but he also says that he gives you information that makes sense. But then, like I said, again, you know, I was under his tutelage for years before I started understanding fully what he was saying. And that's just, it's a societal thing that we do things that don't make sense at all. And we just keep doing it. And then we try to justify it. That's the thing. Oh, you know, we come up with all kind of excuses for doing what we do. And we, you know, we got to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. So
mm-hmm.
I'm right there with you. So if you could further kind of get into that, and then
yeah.
we can go around and, well, let me see if people have questions so far. Because it kind of opens it up for more participation from the panel.
Well,
I'm gonna start off. Go ahead, Brother Oscar.
I was just gonna, you know, it's like when I in my writing, I was saying, like, you know, we have names of endearment. Like people will be calling people like, hey sugar, you know what I mean? And oh, hey dumpling, you know what I mean? And hey cupcake, hey cookie, you know. So things that we don't consciously think that are toxic, they use those things as terms of endearment. That's also part of that whole energy about killing our families in the name of love, you know what I mean? And we need to disconnect from that, those ideologies. But go ahead with questions, you know what I mean?
Okay, I'll go around the panel. I'm gonna start off with Brother XP. Brother XP, you have any comments or questions about the topic so far?
No, so far I'm good. No, I'm good. Not yet.
Okay, I'm gonna go to is this Hita?
Yeah, Tahita.
Tahita, are you there? You wanna unmute?
She's probably
He's moving
doing something.
around, look like.
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Ahi?
I'm here.
Oh,
Oh,
Tahita?
Tahita.
Have you been
Greetings.
greetings. Do you have a question or comment about what we're talking about?
No, not yet, but I'm happy Austin told me about it so I could join in and listen and learn.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Brother Ahi?
Okay.
Same here. All right, we have Luke.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Oh, Lucy. Lucy, do you want to unmute? All right, I'll come back later. Brother Mashinda.
No, I'm listening.
Okay. Professor Amin Ra.
Yeah, Bonnie got any brothers and sisters on the line. I want to say Asante Sana, which is thank you for your presentation so far. You know, and then I'll ask you a question after our preference thing. I like the title of your book and the concept of your book. If it's dealing with educating people on the role that eating affects you mentally and physically and spiritually, then I understand from that standpoint, because some people say women kill their husbands and children with a frying pan, not hitting them with it, cooking the stuff with it and frying that grease and most of the stuff and with salt and sugar, and that many babies are addicted to salt and sugar, like some crackheads are addicted to crackhead. By the time they get to a certain age, there's no turning back unless they get some therapy, because the best cure to any problem is prevention. And we've been miseducated about the role of nutrition by emulating, as Rashid P said, European lifestyles and European nutrition. You can't argue that people that kill people and destroy people that didn't do nothing to them just to take their stuff. They got mental illness, and it's all about greed and all about their lifestyle. I think this guy named John Bailey, I believe it was, wrote a book, The Iceman Inherited, and he talked about why white, he's white. It made him change the book from a history book to a historical novel, because he laid it out why white people are so aggressive and so destructive. And he was saying that, you know, they grew up hunting for food because they were in the wilderness of the of north, where ice and nothing would grow. And so they brought that eating habit to wherever they went, killing animals and eating animals. You know, I mean, most people, you know, eat seeds and eat berries, and they're food gatherers, not food hunters. Many people are. So my point is that the role of this society and its commercialization of and making salt and sugar so cheap. I mean, I've seen people pull out hot sauce bottles before they even taste their food.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out salt shakers before they even taste their food. So I understand, you know, and you know, you don't think your mother is poisoning you or getting you addicted to a drug, but salt and sugar is a drug. She loves you. But she thinks that those things are what you're supposed to eat. And we all came up in, many of us came up in that environment where our parents didn't have the education that we have today. So only thing we can do is pass it on to our children in the name of love and teach them you can be, make it a cultural apparatus and a cultural practice. Like Islam, they say they don't eat pork, even though there's wiener schnitzels and hot dog stands everywhere, pinch and everything, because it's part of their culture. Theocracy culture, theology culture. And I think part of our African culture, we should begin to teach our children that if you don't want diabetes, if you don't want high blood pressure, if you don't want other crippling diseases, then you need to eat not just vegetables and fruits and nuts and berries, but you also should exercise and always keep your body in shape. And that's very crucial. So the book, In the Name of Killing Us in the Name of Love, to me, embraces that theme that I just gave you. That, you know, our mothers and fathers love us, and they're feeding us, and not knowing that they are contributing to our health problems in the future. And sometimes before the future, you know, kids get cancer, they be obese, they be having heart issues, and you know, they would go through a lot, and they want to blame it on everything except for what they fed them. And fathers eat in front of the kids. You know, I don't know, men used to get a big platter. They didn't eat off a plate, they ate off a platter. You know, and just too much food, you know, like 3 meals a day off a platter. That's heavy. Next thing you know, you're in a chair and you can't get out of it. So I want to thank you for that title. And you know, the question is, how do we correct it? What is your suggestion?
That's an uphill battle. You know, it just begins at home. It begins at, you know, parents being, getting an education in truth and related to, you know, diet and food. And there's plenty of people now starting to come out publicly and speak about, you know, what we eat more now than ever. This is like, I'm just scratching the surface with y'all and with people right now and bringing this information forward again. Like I said, I used to do it and now I'm starting to do it again. But, you know, the average, let's say the average vegan, they don't really know food, because the same people that had programmed us to eat what we eat, that's killing us, that falls under the auspice of killing our families in the name of love, they're the ones supplying information on the food and that we think that we're eating is good, the produce, the fruits, the vegetables, you know what I mean? So they're supplying with information on that. And it's all really, when you get into it, is because they control it. It's monetized. And so they're making money off of it. Is it better than in the junk that we're talking about, eating refined sugars and drinking alcohol and eating starches and cake and candy cookies, all that kind of stuff? Is much better than that. But even the way that we're going, dealing with fruit and vegetables, is becoming detrimental now. You know, there's all sorts of things they're doing to it. You know, back in the 80s, they were splicing animal genes into spinach and tomatoes and different vegetables. So, you know, what are you going to do? And it's like I keep telling everybody, you have to learn how to cleanse. You have to learn how to cleanse. That's the equalizer. If you learn how to cleanse, you learn how to fast, you learn how to clean your body, detox, do enemas, clean your blood, things like that, then that's what's going to combat all the negative stuff that's going in, you know, because there's nothing you can do about the negative going in 100%. You know what I mean? Because everything's contaminated, defiled to some degree or another, you know, just from environmental toxins. So you got to really learn how to clean your body out and everything else. But, you know, I want to really start helping people really understand what, you know, as far as food, what they're eating, is it the detrimental sides of it? Why is it detrimental? Because it doesn't grow in nature. I had done I don't think it wasn't this, the last show I did here. I think I did another show a few months ago, and someone asked me about ginger. And because I actually love ginger, the taste of it, you know, but there's nowhere on the planet Earth that ginger has ever been found growing in nature, you know, and so that should like blow, you know, that should spark somebody's, you know, mind to say, well, it's not found in nature. Wait a minute, you know, and that should just kind of spring some curiosity in you to say, well, where does it come from? You know, what, I don't know exactly where it comes from, you know what I mean? But I can tell you that it definitely doesn't come from nature. It's not found in nature. It doesn't follow any normal growing patterns of nature, of a natural food. But, you know, we eat it and everything else in abundance, and people like it. People put it in their food and everything else. Most of the things commercially that we eat are like that. They're not, you know, most of them really aren't found in nature. And as I think I was saying this the last time I was on, if you go to the grocery store and you walk through the produce aisles, how many of those things that you see in the produce aisles at the grocery store can be found growing wild in nature? Not hardly any, you know, very, very few. So you have to understand that the grocery store is just an outlet for substance that's being sold as food that's being monetized. Somebody's making millions and billions of dollars off it. You know, so we have to go back and start studying and understanding and research grow out of nature that are beneficial to us, that sustain us on a cellular level. You know, anybody have any questions at this point?
Well, we have three people that came in, and before I go to them, I want to say that this is one of my points. You would actually have to change your life, which we call lifestyle, in order to get a sufficient amount of real food, you know, as in growing it yourself, dealing with other people who grow food. There has to be a whole lifestyle change in order to do things of this nature. And then you mentioned that with the cleansing, that kind of gives it some type of balance. Is that true? Where you could, you know, get rid of these toxins that's not good for the body. Is that a sufficient statement?
That's a definite truth. Okay. Because people don't really understand the magnitude of the human body. The human body is a self-regenerating machine. The human body is basically an immortal machine. You know what I mean? It was designed to basically last indefinitely. But because of our ignorance and things that we've done, we're now living in a state of degeneration that destroys the human body. You understand? And it's by design, you know what I mean? That there are powers that are trying to destroy us, that want us destroyed, you know? I hear it all the time, you know? I hear Bill Gates talking about, we need to reduce the population of so many, you know, billion people or something. And, you know, that's just an indication of what is trying to be done. And so the way to really combat it is to get your education, you know, start to learn, start to understand what is meant, what is here to sustain you in nature. You understand? Nature, that's the purpose of nature. Nature is here to sustain you. You understand? So, you know, what they've done is they've coined the term natural food, and they are putting all this substance that's really unnatural and selling it to you under the guise of natural food. You understand? But that stuff that they're selling you is not natural. You understand? It is not a direct byproduct of nature, where nature gave it to you directly and you're supposed to just ingest it and have your body get life. It's not like that anymore. So they just tell you, oh, it's natural. It's natural. Why? Because they developed it. They can plant it in the ground and it'll grow, and they sell it to you under the guise that, oh, it grew out of the ground. It's natural. But that's not the case. I don't know. I think last time I was explaining to people, when I used to do my lectures before, I used to tell people all the time that every time you eat a carrot, you're supporting the destruction of the environment and the cycles of life in the earth and in the region that carrot was grown. And people were like, what are you talking about? I said, first of all, carrots are unnatural. They're not found. And you can just Google this if you haven't heard this before. Carrots were developed in Holland, in a laboratory in Holland. And in order for a carrot to grow, you have to kill something that's in nature and plant what they've developed in the ground. And so that's why I was saying, I think on the last program, that, you know, if you amass some land or get some, if you can't, you get some land and you want to start planting a garden on that land, you need to thoroughly find out what plants are growing on that land before you start killing and removing plants so that you can plant some hybrid or, you know, pharmaceutically developed seed on your land. And because all land has natural flora that grows there, that has divine purpose. It's put there for a reason, for the cycles of life in that environment. And once you start removing that stuff and planting in stuff that you just want to eat kale and collard greens and all that kind of stuff, you're destroying nature. You know what I mean?
Can I jump in right here?
Sure.
Okay, so now how would one go about finding out the natural things that's growing in those type of areas? You move to an area or you move to a home. Okay. How do you supposed to get that type of information?
It's very easy. I'm going to break it down. First of all, right now there's a few apps that you can just download on your phone that are plant identifiers, and they're very good, actually very good. And you can start identifying those take pictures of the plants and get them identified. Then you can even go into deeper research on those particular plants that are growing. Cause I do it all the time, cause I have one of the apps on my phone. But I know there's several, I don't know how many that are out there, but what's the name of the one I have? I'll look it up in a minute. But I use it like all the time. Anytime I come across a tree, a plant that I'm unfamiliar with, no matter where I am, I take a picture, it identifies the plant, then I go into researching that plant. I Google that plant and research it and find out, you know, as much information that I can get on that particular plant.
And you could get to the point where you know if it was naturally grown, if it was growing there naturally versus not?
Yeah, because you have to do your homework on it. But so like if you identify, say you get one of those apps and you hit on the plant, it'll tell you certain ones, it'll tell you the plant. If it's a weed, if it's invasive, it'll tell you all sorts of stuff about the plant, shows you pictures of the particular plant, and then you can go and substantiate it by Googling the plant. And, you know, I always Google the plant, hit images, make sure the image of that plant comes up, right? Then I start doing as much research as I can on that particular plant. I don't just rely on like Wikipedia because Wikipedia sometimes is off. So I go to as many sites as I can find as many much information. You know, I got plenty of books, so I'll go into book research and everything on that particular plant, because a lot of people don't even know, you know, what they have that they're destroying. You know, you could have plants that take cancer out of your body in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? And take diabetes out of you. All sorts of stuff that's out there, you know what I mean? Like, people have, there's a plant that I see all the time, there's a flower, hydrangea. You know, hydrangea will take stones, kidney stones, gallstones out of you so quickly, it's mind-blowing. But people don't realize that. And I see it in people's yards all the time, you know? So it's just learning what you have growing in your yard. You know, I'm on this thing right now where I'm drinking XP, will tell you, right? XP cactus pear juice. And and I used to sell it in LA, and I used to bottle it and sell it in LA. And so now I've been, you know, I found a place to get it in Atlanta area, and I started juicing it and bottling it, and I'm drinking it myself. And then I shared it with a few people, and people are like, wow, this is really good. And so people are wanting just a cactus pear juice. But if you really look around and you're conscious about plants, when you're just traveling around in your daily activities, you'll see that there's cactus growing all over the place. In Atlanta, it grows all over the United States. And if you look on the cactus, you see that little egg-shaped little thing on the top of the cactus leaf. That's cactus pear, prickly pear. And that makes one of the most delicious juices you could ever imagine having in your life. And it is so good for you, you know? So, you know, just know, it's just, you can't be lazy about this. You got to be proactive, and you got to go out and really find out what's growing on your land.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, man. Interesting. I want to get to some people that just showed up. And I'm going to start out with Colette, Paul. Colette, you want to unmute? Oh, okay. I'm going to go to Sister Adama. Welcome, uh-oh. Sister Adama.
Greetings, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. In trouble now.
good to see you here.
Oh, thank you.
You want to contribute to what Asa's talking about?
Yeah, Asa is my main brother there. He is.
Behave.
You know, and I have to bring some fire to it, because really the issue for me is that we are kind of like soft shoeing and half assing about what we really need to be about right now.
Right, Harold.
In the escalation of the genocide. Now, I want people to look at, if you've not already seen it, I want you to watch Raul Peck's eliminate all the brutes. Exterminate. It's exterminate all the brutes. It is the most succinct historical, I think, video documentary that is shorter, but it really goes into a lot of the detail as to what we're what's happening in terms of the warfare against the whole of humanity. But we can know that. We can know that we're being warred against, but the behavior modification that has happened with the assault of these chemicals upon ourselves has put us in a position where we are not responding intensely enough to realize that the whole point of the genocide is to literally phase our lineages out of existence. And that there's purpose in being on the planet in ensuring the continuation, the exaltation, and the progression of our lineages. And so, you know, I do think that Mother Earth, Mother Nature, we are connected to it divinely, and that as we're clearing, cleansing, purifying, consecrating, reestablishing the body to be 80% highly charged, mineralized water, and infusing the love of God within every fiber of our being, that Mother Earth will produce whatever it is we require. It'll show up around us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but just our coming to a point where we want to be cleansed. I just haven't seen people who really take responsibility for realizing that the body is literally cleansing daily, which is why we're so refreshed when we brush our teeth and bathe. But we do that every day. And I'm just becoming aware of people who don't bathe and brush their teeth every day, but most of us will. even in a death culture, most of us will be really refreshed when we bathe and brush our teeth. The issue is that whatever's going in the mouth is going down the throat into the rest of the body, but we're cleaning the outside of the body, but we are leaving the inside of the body filled with all of this garbage, which is the foundation of all disease.
Exactly.
Okay, that's excellent. That's the Dharma. All right, we got a few people here, so I want to make sure I get to everybody, or at least give them an attempt to say something or ask a question. Brother Chiwara?
Yes, brother. And Brother Asa. And
what's going on?
Positive vibrations, man. This is very interesting because it's so important, you know. I mentioned of a lifestyle change, as Brother Rasaki mentioned. You know, and I'd like to take it to another level. It's really a mindset change, or we call it new faculty of thinking, has to occur. But this has to be a radical change. It can't be no thing where we, you know, for those who can't do radical, I guess they have to make it to do the best they can. But at the pace of things right now, sisters, I'm just saying this is critical right now. You know, it has to be a radical change, because this radical change is what is the God order. No longer is man being left to make a choice, although he still has choice to make. But what we call God, which is really energy, the ability to do work, cannot be created or destroyed. Immortality has made an order that we must change, and it has to be a radical change. No more tolerating this and tolerating that and all this. And that's in order to usher in the God-man rather than the man-God. Because what's happening now, everybody's in a man-God state of mind, where it's all a belief system. It ain't real. What really exists is the God-man, because it is this energy that is within all of us and all of nature and all of creation. That is who we are. God man, the God woman, and that's capital G. to say God man is the same as saying the energetic man, the energetic woman. Our relationship with the earth is very important, as Brother Asa spoke about. There is so much medicine that the earth is throws at us every season, and we don't even recognize it. Only thing we recognize and acknowledge is Kroger's, Publix, Aldi, and all of these destructive, false, energetic consciousness. We have to begin to recognize the connection between the brain and the mind, and that there is a relationship there. And this relationship is not fictitious. It is absolutely, unequivocally, 1,000,000% realer than you and I, realer than us on this Zoom call. The mind and the brain must reestablish this relationship. It's the same as saying, as Sister Donald and Brother Asa said during this presentation, reconnect to earth. Have a relationship with the earth. It's the realest relationship that you can have. When the last time I went to Focus and bought green. Yesterday my meal was purslane. This is something that comes all on its own. There's no farmers are necessary here. Just go to the earth, recognize it, see it, partake. Trust the earth. We must begin to redevelop our trust in the earth, that what the earth brings to us is for us. We have to begin to look into that. And as Brother Asa said, we have to do our research. You can't just, you know, listen to what I say, listen to what Brother Asa said, listen to what Sister Adama said. That we have to be self-motivated. Google, you know, get the app, you know, research, get into it. I've seen a plant today. I pulled it up. And something told me, take a picture of it and find out what it is. I did. And it's not only something for our health and for our healing, but it also serves the purposes for the other creatures like the birds and stuff like that. And this is so important that we have this relationship. That's the only way we can combat what's going on. We have to radically stop. Just stop. Cold turkey, stop. Stop dealing with them. Stop messing with them. And take an active role in what we accept into our bodies and into our minds. That's my contribution for right now.
I appreciate that, Brother Jawara. Asa, you wanted to say something?
No, I mean, he's 100% right. What plant did you find? That's what I want to know.
Well, the one that I found today.
Yeah.
Since I really don't study like that to hold things mm-hmm. in, I'd have to go and look it back up in my phone.
Okay.
You know, but it's one that is all over Georgia. It's all over. Okay. I'm in Stone Mountain, you know, and I'm more than willing to let you and send it to you. The stuff that I do, you know, I take the amaranth that I buy mm-hmm. at the Whole Foods or the farmer's market, and I just throw it on the ground.
That's what you do.
The amaranth is Kalalu in Jamaica, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just grows. And that's all I do is take care of it. And I get it. And that's my green, you know? Mm-hmm. I get dandelion. I eat that. Purslane, I eat that. Pork salad, I eat that. You know? Mm-hmm. Wild lettuce, you know? I haven't mm-hmm. eaten from the supermarket like that in about... The only thing I go to the supermarket get is organic avocado. And, you know, mangoes and stuff like that. But, like, as far as greens is concerned, no. I don't, you know. And it's a whole lot different. It's much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, it's a big change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But purslane
is delicious. I love purslane. It's like... so full of water. I mean, it's just like so refreshing. It's cool. It's like you chew it and just kind of pops water in your mouth. You know what I mean?
And you can eat it raw. or you can eat it slightly sauteed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I eat the wild blackberry, you know, and so on.
Can you describe it and spell it?
Oh, P-U-R-S. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, bro.
It's P-U-R-S-L-A-N-E.
Yeah.
What's the name of it in Spanish? Gordolo? I can't remember the Spanish name. But some markets have it. I think the Patel Brothers market. Indian market over on, like, I think it's on Church Street in Decatur. It's called Patel Brothers. They carry it sometimes. I don't know if DeKalb carries it. DeKalb
does carry it. Like? What does it look like?
Google it, you know, and because it's hard to describe. It's a creeper. It's a creeping ground plant. It stays low to the ground. It has a small kind of like oval, like almost like an egg, elongated egg shape leaf. And sometimes the branches of it are like a pinkish kind of color.
Yeah.
You know, like a gold to pinkish kind of color. And it grows. It just grows. I mean, it grows, you know. Actually, the house I'm in one day, I'm in at right now, I walked outside and there's some planters outside.
They look like Tina Jades.
It does look like some kind of, it does look like a, something in the Jade family. Yes, yep.
Yes, it does. You know, the other day I saw a plant growing.
Brother Chihuahua.
Yes.
Let me get to the next two people, and then we'll start to, because this time is moving on us. And I want to make sure I want to hit everybody's if they have a question or comment. Okay, this is Spurgeon Brown. iPhone with Spurgeon Brown. Hey, you're muted, no? Then we have Tess McGee. Tess, can I mute? Right. Okay, I'm going to come back to a few other people that didn't have a question or comment, see if they have one now. Brother XP?
No, I'm good. Just learning.
Okay. Tahita? Okay, and the person with the iPhone that gave the description of Jade, you have a question or comment? No? Brother Mashinda? Right. And Lucy?
Hello, my name is Lucy, I want to ask a question about the natural foods. Is natural foods kind of like what he said, the cactus or the electric foods? Is those considered electric foods?
Yes. Yes.
So that's what we want to do. Is it a list of electric foods where we can eat, that we can eat?
I have a little list, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if Adami, you have a food list. You know, Sabi had a list, people, but it's kind of, I mean, I could share the list that I have. I need to put personally on it. But I have foods on that aren't 100% natural, but I have foods that won't hurt you. You know what I mean? Because we're at a situation now where unless you really study and research and go to nature and go to harvesting and foraging on your own, you're still going to go to, you know, markets and purchase produce and purchase things. So you need to know what are the best things that you can buy to eat that a grocery store or Kroger's or Publix will sell you. And see, that's the key, you know, and so I can supply a list. I'll give my email address out And if you're interested, just, you know, email me for the list and I'll just send it to you. If anybody knows me personally, you want to call me or whatever and ask for the list, I'll get you the list. You know, but the thing, like I keep stressing, and even Adamo is stressing, and I have to stress this, is that you have to learn how to cleanse. You have to learn how to fast. You have to learn how to do enemas. You have to learn how to clean your body out the same way you clean your body on the exterior every day. You have to learn how to do it internally. And that's what we're missing, because we were never taught that. You know, we were never taught that as children. And, you know, it's something that we just never were taught. It's not part of the system. It's not part of any curriculum that the system wants you to have or know. You know what I mean? Because it will empower you.
Yes.
You know, and healing is a self thing. I mean, you can't, when you go to somebody else for healing, you're just showing how far away from yourself that you really are.
Ooh, you understand? Say that.
Because your body is your body. I shouldn't be telling you about your body, because it's not mine. But so you go to somebody else. But if you were conscious and you were taught, you know, if you were just brought up knowing how to take care of your body properly, what sustains it, how to clean it internally, then you would have dynamic health and you would live indefinitely. You know what I mean? So that's what it's all about. So this whole thing is an education. It's a process. But like Adama has stressed, and I'm going to stress this, time is running short. This society, this civilization, humanity is under a great attack. And so, you know, you have to just basically be strong and be very, very proactive and get as much knowledge as possible and do the things necessary to carry you and your loved ones through, you know, what we're going through and what's getting ready to happen. And you know, that's it. That's all I can really say.
Can I add to that? Is that we grew up hearing certain things. And one of the things that we heard from the time we were knee-high to ducks, thou shalt love thy mother, father, creator, God, thy Lord, with your whole body, heart, mind, with all of your might. We've not seen what that looks like. We've not, yeah. And I'm reemphasizing what Asa has said in terms of us not knowing how perfectly and divinely designed we are. We are not the creation of men, but we follow the least of them. We follow the ones that have the least amount of light and wisdom. We do everything that these people tell us to do to the violation of ourselves, not realizing that the spirit is charged on the blood, and the blood is perusing through 100,000 miles of blood vessels, capillaries, veins, and arteries, right? Now, no matter how well you eat, you puncture a particular artery or whatever, you're going to bleed out. So I'm just saying is that at this particular point in time, the blood has to be cleansed, because everything that we're consuming is going to lay foundation for the quality of blood. And the quality of blood is going to lay foundation for the quality of thought. And even if you do research, you are not necessarily able to make the proper inferences in how to apply whatever the knowledge and information is, because the blood is not clean enough to give you the clarity of mind. So we were told to know the truth, and the truth would make us free. Now, we said do research, and I'm saying no, there has to be an inner intensity of intention for absolute truth, because that is going to be our filter for all of the information that we have access to that may not be applicable to our now moment. And so our liberation is not even a conversation that people are having. They're having a conversation about health and wellness. Health and wellness when you are being exterminated from the face of the earth like freaking roaches is not the conversation. Our liberation and our right response to the genocide allows us to really go deeper in terms of what we do every day and making the commitments. We didn't come here as dead people. We should not be leaving as dead people. We're already in the realm of eternity. We should be living and loving lawfully and understanding that our blackness is not our salvation. Our blood is going to be our condemnation or our salvation.
Okay. Point of interest. I wanted to add to all that wonderful grand stuff. This is okay. Sister Tekoa Tafari. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, excuse me. I was going to say, identify yourself, please. And we're going to get your comment. And then we're going to go to Asa, and then we're going to close. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to make this brief. Appreciate each one teaching one. Thank you, Harold.
Can you tell us your name?
Brother Asa Allah. I appreciate this call. Tekoa Tafari Bay. And I just came off of a call with my government. You saw I had come in and call in, and I do got to pardon myself that I'm going to get back to our government. I appreciate y'all on this call, and I'm getting a lot out of it. Shalom and peace.
Thank you for attending. Okay, Asa. Professor Rye, you had a quick comment?
Yeah, I want to ask Asa a couple questions. When you say cleansing is very necessary, how you deal with it with children? Do they? Is there a certain way they cleanse is different from adults?
No.
So are
no, because it's the same thing. You know, they got a body like you. I mean, you have to. With children, it's more. I think it's more of a teaching thing, and really trying to get get them to understand and do it, you know. And it's difficult. It's going to be difficult with children that, especially, you know, with children that don't know. Like my children, they grew up on what we call like a mucusless diet. You know what I mean? I didn't let my children, once they were born until they got, I don't know, maybe, yeah, probably in elementary school did they start eating garbage, you know. But when it was under my control, I didn't let them eat any starches, no dairy, no soy. I didn't let them eat much of anything, you know. But I made sure that I kept them nourished because I knew what to feed them, you know. Once a child gets to an age where they've been kind of eating garbage and junk and everything, then, you know, they're going to have to be taught that how to do enemas, how the importance of the enemas, you know what I'm saying? They're going to have to be taught fasting and learn how to fast intermittently. And parents are going to have to do the fasts with them. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's just a process, but the children have to get like the adults. Okay, go ahead.
But like Dr. Goss and different people have different ways of cleansing.
Right.
And they have different formulas.
Right. And
my point is that is there a certain number of bowel movements you should have a day, or is it the cleansing one big bowel movement or two big bowel movements, and that's it? Because a lot of people work, kids be in school, and some are hesitant to go to the bathrooms and things that or can't.
Yeah.
And I'm asking you, what do you see from your study?
Okay. Bowel movements are crucial. And so I tell people however many times you eat a day, that's how many bowel movements you should have a day. Right? Now, if you're in a position that, you know, you're in school and the stuff and you can't go to the bathroom or you're holding it, which is unhealthy, that's the whole purpose of enemas. You understand? Because the enemas go deep and clean the sediment that's in you, and it cleans stuff that's been in you. If you do them, you get in the habit of doing them all the time, then you'll get things out of you that have been in you for years, you know. And there's a great book called Tissue Cleansing Through Bowel Management. You can look that book up. And I used to used the photos, the pictures from that book when I used to do my lectures, and I blew them up to show people, like, after extensive cleansing of your bowel, what you see that comes out of you is mind-blowing. I mean, you parasites, all sorts of stuff that's in you. It's stuff that looks like road tar, you know. So it's just, you have to, like with children, it's the parents' responsibility to know and, you know, to educate their children and put their children on programs. But it's really educating the children so as they get older, it becomes a habit and it becomes a lifestyle. You know, just like Adama was saying, cleansing the exterior of your body, taking a shower every day, brushing your teeth. All that is, you know, you got to consciously think of your body internally and that perspective so that you can have dynamic health. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, but see, the challenge is, you know, that people used to eat prunes, people used to drink 3-6s, and, you know, that some people do it to stop constipation. You know, that's what they use. Many times they have to use intimates as for the patient. What I'm talking about, are there natural plants that will cleanse you, or do you have to rely on?
No. Okay, that's a good question. All right, so, you know, I used to run with Dr. Sebi. Dr. Sebi was anti-enemas because, you know, he felt it was an unnatural process. And I understood that. And he used to give herbs and plants and things that would clean you out that way, you know. But when you understand different plants have different purposes. And different plants clean different aspects of the body. You know what I mean? So the main plant he used to use in his formulas was Cascara Sagrada. Right? Cascara Sagrada is a bark from a tree that'll cleanse your bowel. But I, and I, you know, I was on that bandwagon, so to speak, for a long time, where I felt like, okay, enemas were unnatural and I'm not going to do those. I'm just going to, you know, take the herbs and eat the plants that will promote me cleansing and having bowel movements and things like that. And, you know, I had to come to the realization that in today's world, you know, and what the average person has eaten over time, enemas basically are pretty much like a necessity. You know what I mean? Because they're going to clean you in a way quicker and deeper more quickly than doing an herbal protocol. And so, and like I think I mentioned on the last time I was on a program, there's a place called the Gerson Institute down in Mexico, and that's a whole nother story, talking about how it came into being and Dr. Max Gerson and everything. But if you have any severe diseases and you go to the Gerson Institute down in Mexico, they're going to give you 5 solid strenuous enemas a day for your healing. So you just have to understand that if you really want to clean the most important part of your body, when it comes to cleansing the body, you have to do enemas. You got to clean your colon. You have to keep your whole digestive system and your intestines clean, because that is the major part of your immune system. So that's it.
All right, thanks.
Hope I answered it okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, that was excellent. You guys, with the time running out, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to take our pause. And also, you're going to be able to come back, correct?
No, yeah, anytime. My question, but you know, give people my email address. Or, okay. So,
well, go ahead and say it slowly, please.
Oh yeah, okay. It's M as in Mary, O, R, C as in cat, E, G, O, B as in boy, E, Y, at gmail.com.
One more time, Morse- please.
Morsego Bay, M, O, R, C, E, G, O, B, E, Y, at gmail.com.
Okay, that's excellent. This is a good thing, you know. It's a beautiful thing because we're getting more and more shows like this. And next week, we have Dr. Goss's daughter, Dr. Sharita Yassid, coming on, and she's going to talk about vegetarianism. So that's the topic for next Wednesday. So this is a beautiful thing. I appreciate everybody coming out, Professor Rock.
Yes.
What do we have for next Tuesday?
Man, I'm talking Black Talk. We're going to be discussing Kamala
Harris.
Yes, and we're going to be discussing by then she being chosen vice president. I'll get a feel for where Black people are in the political landscape of participation. It was beautiful how the women came together, raised money, and the men came together. The women raised 1.5, the men raised 1.3, but they started a movement. Now you got white women, white dudes, all raising money for her. And, you know, we're going to discuss Trump at the NAACP, at the Black Journalists Convention, and they had him as a guest speaker, and he walked out. You know, I'll be talking about our freedom and our, you know, not freedom to choose Jack in the Box or Taco Bell, freedom to be able to free ourselves so we can be ourselves. Yeah. All right.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so I look forward to that next week. And everybody, we're on every Tuesday and Wednesday. In 2 weeks, I probably won't be on Wednesday, but normally it's weekly. And if you go to the Community Education Network, as you see behind me, you can see what our topics are. So hopefully we support checking out other topics also. And I just appreciate everybody coming out to support Brother Asa and his information. Sister Adama had a large crowd. And Brother Chihuahua is always here. Brother Ayi's here. So it's a beautiful thing. And you can contact us if you are interested in being a guest, or if you just want to hang out with us, come and hang out with us. Because we're about this type of education. We need the real deal. And I think we're getting it here, and we have an affiliate also on the website where you can see where we have Black Conscious, a podcast list. So check us out, and I'm glad you came. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Peace, people.